Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival. I'm here with Billy Piper and Leo Bill from the film Rare Beasts. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi. It's Leo's birthday.
Oh, really? So happy birthday. Yeah, she's keep on telling everybody.
It's my 21st birthday.
Yeah, lucky you. God.
It's a very special occasion.
Well, actually, I have to compliment you because I have a very good time watching the film.
The film
is really, really funny, even if it's not a comedy in the strict sense of the word. But it's really, really funny and intense. And the narrative rhythm is amazing.
Oh, good.
Let me tell you.
And this leads
me to the first question, which is like about the opening sequence, which is really, really funny and really in your face. How did you work on that, the two of you? Because it was so fluent. How many times did you shoot it?
Well, you know, we rehearsed that a bit, but we were aware that we didn't want to do that too many times because we would tire of it and it would probably become less good. So that was the first scene on the first day as well, which was a big leap.
That was a baptism of fire.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But in fact, we had, I think we had 2 days where we were going to rehearse those scenes. And we never rehearsed them because by the end of that day we'd talked a lot and then decided,
maybe we should not rehearse it, particularly
the first one. Maybe we should meet when they meet.
Yeah,
you know.
Because actually, the film is about this love story, kind of weird one, but it's actually a love story.
Very dysfunctional
love story. But you know, everything is very dysfunctional lately in this day, so it fits.
It feels.
It's true and normal, yeah. And it is about this. Basically, the issue is how difficult it is for a woman being a woman nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Trying to balance being a liberated woman and having a family and having like a regular, if you can call it, life.
Yeah.
And the way you wrote, I mean, the way the film is written is really smart and really funny, but kind of melancholic and sad on basis. So how did you balance this?
Well, I suppose the balance is in the shooting of it, because I was saying earlier, there is a version of this film when you just read it on the page that's really quite bleak. Mm-hmm. And if you approached it in a very British way, it could be be Ken Loach stuff, which I love, but I think I really wanted to lift it out of that and sort of reimagine it and heighten it a bit so that we could talk about dark things and everyone could be a bit mean and it was somehow still palatable.
Mm-hmm.
And also, bad behaviour is really funny and people having a meltdown is really funny. If it's not happening to you, it's amazingly funny. Yeah. So I think that's where the laughs come. Possibly.
Yeah, actually, the laughs come more in this occasion, as you say, but also in the way you say that the worst thing in the most calm way, because the two of you say each other really bad things,
ugly,
also kind of dirty stuff. You know, you talk very
sexually
speaking, so it's very like open and clear and
not British in that way.
Yeah, I guess so.
For me, not being British, but having lived in England a long time, it's really British. This is really something that only British movies and British TV, for example, are able to do.
Ah, interesting.
You're more like daring than other people.
Oh God, I didn't think that.
In terms of dialogues and of being, you know, clear and direct.
Oh, good.
Which another question is about exactly this: how did you balance the writing in order not to be too vulgar, too not sellable in terms of, commercially speaking, but still being faithful to what you want to say and the way you want to say it? So how did you manage to do this?
Yeah.
On many levels, because, I mean, the Coke is always present, and but it's done in a way that it's funny, but it's there.
So it's
really a difficult balance, writing-wise.
Yeah, it is a difficult balance, I guess. It is difficult, and I suppose you've just got to find fun ways to tell it so that you can keep your language, you know, so you can keep the confrontation and the sort of beastly nature of them all and the you know, they're all really messed up and at the end of their rope, you know. Mm. So you don't want to shy away from that. So I guess the thing is that you have to sort of push it visually to compensate. Mm. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. This probably isn't answering it at all, but I'm just going to say something. I just feel I need to say something.
Go at this juncture.
You're involved in it in a way, yeah. So you have
you're
to something to say.
But I just found that in the reading, when I remember reading it and thinking, there's something about it. On the one hand, it's quite heightened sometimes, the language, mm. which I think then can allow you to sort of maybe go a little further. Mm. And then at the same time, when it's not heightened, then I remember the first time reading it thinking, oh, and then there were conversational stuff that feels like Cassavetti conversation, incredibly naturalistic. And there's something about merging those two,
yeah.
that I think allows you to be able to go to places, yeah. in a different way.
Yes. Yeah, been, yeah, yeah. Being able, I mean, to go to the point without risking too much.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. Your character is this man that is actually not very comfortable with women, mm-hmm. and is fighting against the new women.
Yeah.
Because the new women for him as a man are more difficult to manage,
yeah.
than the old ones, the older versions of the women. Do you think it's actually an issue for like a grown-up straight man in this age is to be able to confront with stronger women, which makes himself
finally I've been asked to speak for all men.
Yeah, you are basically the speaker, the voice,
finally.
of all the masculine.
It's time we were heard.
Yeah. So be very careful what you say, because you have a responsibility here.
No, it's difficult. I think, yeah, it is it's an issue. I think there's a lot of guys out there that are, yeah, struggling to either go instantly on the defensive. I mean, that's been something that's gone on forever, of the moment that someone mentions feminism and then a guy suddenly just goes weirdly defensive, while sort of saying that he agrees with it,
yeah.
But sort of weirdly aggressively. In terms of Pete, I mean, it's so, you know, as much as she's trying to navigate something, he's trying to navigate his own thing, and it's that classic thing which happens in every relationship.
Oh, yeah.
There's things I like and there's things I don't like, and I don't know what this says about me if I like that thing that I shouldn't like, and I don't know, every... what I like about the film, what I like about that relationship, is that as much as on the one hand he can be seen as sort of maybe very archaic, very old-fashioned, misogynistic, I think the reality is that all men have, this is going to come out in a bad way, have a little bit of Pete inside them.
Yeah. I
think
agree.
They do. No, I think they do.
I agree. When men are stripped right back, yeah. I think... Well, my experience of men is that they're more like that than they would hope, and I would hope.
Yeah.
But a generation below us, they're different guys.
Yeah.
They don't seem to struggle with this change as much as men my age and older. That's something I've seen. My male friends are just all over the place now. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, this is exactly what...
Yeah, they're stressed because their wife earns more money than them, and they feel shit about that. Mm. And then, you know, they feel reduced a lot now.
And they suffer a lot of competition in any single possible scenario.
Yeah,
which is, I mean, the way you chose to start the film, when Leo's character says, as an introduction to this woman that he meet on his first date, I believe it was, say, "I hate all women. I don't want to be with women, but I have to be with one." So this was set exactly the pace of the film.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. There are two sequences that I really loved. Which one is the marriage one?
Yeah.
The dance sequence, which is really, besides being beautiful to watch, is something that gives us as viewers the real nature of the two characters.
Yeah.
And why did you think to do it specifically this way, with this kind of music, which, by the way, is really good. It's really nice.
That's so good.
And that all the dance, that everybody, I mean, you just burst up into dancing like this, because it was like an urgency.
Yeah. I really like seeing dance in films. I love it. It makes my heart race. And I feel like this film had to have one moment of hope where maybe as a viewer you'd be like, I've warmed to them, maybe they can be together, that's exciting, now we're going to watch them flourish, and it's exciting. And then, of course, it ends pretty soon and you're back into the hell that is their relationship. But I just wanted to see like that flurry of energy and dance and laughter. And it also gets weird because everybody's like singing the lyrics in this really, I mean, the whole thing's a bit strange, but it's fun to watch.
It's fun, yeah, it's fun to watch. And it's kind of liberating at that specific point of the film. Just
give you a little need bit that. You need
okay,
the rest.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You need
absolutely.
The rest then, because it's so intense.
And just close with, well, I want to talk to you about the closing scene, because it's really, choreographically speaking, really beautiful. It's not a dance. In itself, but it's really beautiful. How did you work on that? How did you choose to do this? The two choirs that are replying to the characters, throwing things to the character too, which was fun. But why did you choose this kind of closure?
It's so funny that he says that, isn't it? Because thinking about shooting that was just so much hard work. So it's really nice to hear that, because those 2 days were some of the most stressful moments of my life. I just wanted the end to have a lot of scope, and I wanted this feeling of like a Greek chorus running throughout, which, you know, you sort of get in a way that doesn't distract you so much that you're in some really, really abstract film. But I wanted it to get to the sort of culmination of all the women, and actually all the women in that scene, most of the women have featured somewhere else in the film. So it felt great to have them all together, just, you know, having their moment. And I wanted it to feel really big.
Does the elderly woman who has the purple shawl like over her head, that is like
one of the
great pieces of film casting,
is she the one that threw a shoe at you? No, it was another one. No,
it
was
a really old woman with the purple headscarf.
She's great.
I can say that I enjoyed the film again. I'm going to repeat it. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much
to Billy Piper and to Leo Bill, director and characters of the film Rare Beast here at the Venice Festival.
Thank you very much.
I'm Angela Cherubi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.